Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we just come before you today, just honored to be able to gather and worship your holy name. And we just ask that when you're ready, you come get us, Lord. And we just want to pray for Pastor Cal as he comes and he opens the Bible and he preaches from the Word of God, that you open our hearts that we may be changed by it. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said,
amen. Amen. Thank you, Second Mile praise and worship team. And thank you, Jesus. Amen. He's the reason that we're here. Amen. And I need to do something before we get into the message and read the scriptures, if that's all right with you. I love our church family. And we're in the sending business. We're not in the seating business. We're in the sending business. We believe in sending people out. And while we didn't have a whole lot to do with this one, Bobby and Michaela Joe are going to be leaving us. They're moving to Lebanon, and Bobby's getting out of the military. And we just appreciate your service, brother. God bless all of our military men and women. And I had the privilege of doing premarital counseling with this couple, and I don't know, that's how they wound up coming here. So what I'd like to do, y'all just, those of you that are close to them, just lay hands on them, and I'd like to pray over them right now that God would bless their time. We appreciate having y'all here for a few short months. Y'all, they won't bite you. Just gather around them and lay hands on them, would you? Thank you. There's something about human touch. Something about that. Father, we just agree in Jesus' name that you send people our way for a season, and then you send them out for another season in their life. And as they embark upon, I guess Bobby's going to be entering into a new career, and I think Michaela's already got a job in Lebanon, and I just pray, Lord, as you send them, that you would move them to a place of ministry. Help them to find a great Bible-believing, Bible-teaching, Bible-reaching church. And ask God that you would protect them and in every way that you would bless them and use them for your glory. Thank you for sending them here for a short season. We love this couple and ask God that you'd send them out of here. We're in the kingdom business. We're not in the keeping business, Father. We're here to get the gospel to people. And so I pray you'd use this fine young couple to reach others for Jesus. In his name we pray, amen. Amen. Thank y'all. Y'all can say bye to them. Give them a hug before you get out of here today. We are in, Greg Lane, you've been reading my notes.
My soul is like a sin.
We're in Isaiah 55 today. I always like to kind of back up the Gideon ministry with a little word from the Word, about the Word. And so we're in Isaiah 55. And I tell you what, guys, I'm going to back all the way up to verse 8, Adam, if that's okay. And then we'll read down through the end of the chapter. If you've got Isaiah 55 in front of you, let's stand as we honor the reading of God's Word. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
All right. Isaiah. Well, goodness gracious. I'm looking at verse 6. I got to read that too. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Call upon him while he is near. Amen. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him. How many of y'all could say amen to that?
Amen.
And to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. And as Greg quoted earlier today, for as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. For she, listen to this, for you shall go out with joy. Say joy with me. And be led out with peace. Say peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Isn't this fabulous? Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Hallelujah. God bless the reading. Bless the teaching, bless the preaching of your holy, inerrant, inspired, infallible, authoritative word. God, let our yes be yes today. Help us to be obedient to what you're calling us to do. In Jesus' sweet name we pray. All God's children said, amen. Amen. Please be seated if you can. This is Gideon Sunday, and as I said, I want to get behind the Gideon ministry with a word from the Word. Now, as you've already heard, the purpose and mission of the Gideon ministry is to get the gospel out by spreading the Word of God everywhere, all over the globe. Their mission is to get a copy of God's Word in the hands of everyone on the planet. Why? So that people might read it and be wonderfully and gloriously saved. That's why the Gideons need us to partner with us in helping to get the Word out. Aren't you thankful for the Word of God? Mm. And so I want you to know the context of verses 10 and 11 are kind of couched between two invitations to salvation. You may not have read this before, but Isaiah 55, 1 through 7 is an invitation to salvation for the Jewish people. And then there's another invitation for Gentiles. Look at your neighbor and say, that's you. In Isaiah 56, 1 through 8, there's an invitation to salvation for Gentiles. And so our verses are couched in the midst of that context, and that's so important. It is the desire of our great God that everyone might be saved and be in relationship with Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. So how does that happen? How does somebody get saved? Well, I want to tell you, by obeying what the Scripture says. Obeying what the Scripture says. You cannot be saved apart from the Spirit of God and the Word of God. Got to have both. You cannot be saved apart from the Scriptures. And so that's exactly what Isaiah is teaching us this morning from chapter 55. And I want to say three things quickly about Isaiah 55 and about the saving power of the Scriptures. First of all, the Word of God supplies us. Say that with me. The Word of God supplies us. Now, everybody, the Word of God supplies us. There's great truth here for us. Now, Luke 8, 11 reveals that God's Word is like a seed. God's Word is like a seed. And Isaiah reveals in his scripture that God's Word is like the rain and snow coming down from the heavens. The rain, and in beautiful language and imagery, he describes how God's Word is like the rain and snow giving life to the earth and nourishes it, that so too is the Word of God. It does the same thing. The rains come and the snows come and waters the seed, which helps the seed germinate. And then it grows and eventually bears fruit. That's the way the Word of God works. When the Word of God is shared personally or publicly or privately, Hallelujah. This is what happens. It has the power to save someone's soul. That's why they're trying to get the gospel to people. That's why the Gideons are trying to get the word to people, because it has the power of salvation in its word. Hallelujah. And so look at your neighbor and just say, there's power in the word. The word of God supplies us. Now, let me just kind of put it like this. I've given you all my testimony before, but I got a bad case. I just need to share that one more time today. I grew up in a Christian home. Me and my four sisters and my daddy used to sit on the second pew at First Baptist Clarksville watching my mama play the piano. Now, that's not the only thing we did in worship, okay? But mama wanted us sitting close to her because she knew how we were. And all she had to do was look over at us from that piano. You understand what I'm saying? And so we were in church every time the doors were open. My dad was a deacon and Sunday school teacher. My mom was the best Bible teacher in our home. But I got a post from somebody this week. He's another fellow pastor down in Florida. And he said that my daddy was the best Sunday school teacher he ever had. Billy and Carol Walker grew up in mom and dad's couples class. So I thank God that my parents taught us the Word of God from a very young age. But I want to tell you, you don't get to heaven on your parents' coattails. And so while I was in church, I was without Christ. I mean, I know y'all have trouble believing this, but I was mean to my sisters. I'm thankful Susan's not here today. But I was mean to my sisters, and every now and then, you know, I would disobey what mom and dad told me to do. Well, what does the Bible call that? Sin. But I would do things that were wrong, and I knew they were wrong, and I did them anyway, and I didn't really, one way or the other, I'd feel a little bad sometimes, a little guilty. But when I was 9 years old, we were down at Montgomery Bell State Park at a church camp. And it was one Friday night. We were down on the hillside. And my pastor, Dr. John David Lida, was preaching on the dock down below the hillside where all of us were sitting. And for the first time in my life, I really began to understand that I was a sinner. And that my sins had separated me from God. Brother John was preaching on Luke 15, the prodigal son. And you know what? God just kind of spoke to my heart that night. And he said, you're that prodigal son. And sure enough, I was. And the deeper he got into his message, the more convicted I got. And I'm sitting there on the hillside and I'm crying. 9 years old. And I knew what I needed to do, but I didn't know exactly what to do. Well, the next night, we're at home, 19 Lacey Lane. And after dinner, I told my mom and dad what had happened. And my dad said, well, son, what you need to do is surrender your heart and life to Jesus Christ. And bless God, my daddy got out his Bible and showed me what I need to do. And as a 9-year-old kid on my bottom bunk bed down in the basement of 19 Lacey Lane with my daddy on my left and my mom on my right, I repented of my sin and trusted Jesus Christ as my only means of salvation. And that would not have happened. And bless God, he's not done with me. He's still working on me. But he's getting me ready for heaven. And I'm on my way to heaven. Or either heaven's coming to me like we sang about this morning. He's coming and I'm ready. And some of you here need to get ready as well. And so the Word of God told me what I needed to do and showed me where I needed to go. Can I just read verses 6 and 7 again? Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Some of you here today need to be saved. I love you enough to tell you the truth. Some of you here need to be saved today. You're trusting in some church membership. You're trusting in some good deed or good work that you did on your very best day. The Bible says that's like a filthy rag thrown in the face of a holy God. Your baptism, that's not going to get you to heaven. That's not going to get you a relationship with God. Those things don't save. You may be a deacon. I've had pastors and deacons saved in former churches. It's so easy to claim salvation today. But some of you are here this morning, and the Word of God right now is speaking to you. You know you're not really born again. You're not saved. And you're trusting in the wrong thing. And you'd better call on Him while He's near. You do know you can't be saved any old time you want to be saved. The Holy Spirit is the one who has to draw you and woo you and convict you. The Holy Spirit is the one who uses the Word of God to convict you of your sin and then pulls you and draws you. And so if you're feeling that way today, bless God, what are you waiting on? Surrender to Christ. Give your life. You need to be saved today. Every church has lost folks on their rolls. Because you were preached some kind of easy believism, but Jesus is the only way out of the mess that we're in. Hallelujah. And so you'd better respond today, because there comes a time when God's voice gets smaller and smaller and smaller to eventually, the Bible says, you sin away your day of grace and it'll be impossible to be saved. How many of y'all have ever heard that before? That's what I figured. You go to 1 John and take a look at that. And then some of us are here today and you're saved, but you're like I was at a 25-year-old man. You're distant from God. And you're backslidden. And the Word of God's convicting you that you need to return to Him. I'm so thankful God receives backslidden Christians. I'm so thankful that God will... The Scripture says... If you'll return to me, I will return to you. If you'll just take one step back towards the Lord today, He's already taken two steps towards you. So some of you all need to do that today. And He'll have mercy on you. I'm the poster child for this. And He will pardon you abundantly. Why not come home today? Why not do what God's calling you to do? The salvation of God is what we need more than anything else. And the Word of God helps supply that need. Somebody shout amen. Amen. Give Him praise today in the house. Hallelujah. We're going to give you an opportunity to do exactly what we've just been talking about in just a moment. Secondly, the Word of God sustains us. Look at 10, verse 10 again. Scripture says, the Word of God shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. The Scriptures give us what we need. It sustains us. And we're witnessing. When we're witnessing, it's the seed that sows. When we're working, it's the strength that sustains us. When we're in sorrow, it's the source that supplies us. The Word of God sustains us. It'll give you what you need when you need it. How many of you found that to be true? I hate to get personal again, but I got a bad case of it today. Back in 2015, we hosted a great men's conference down at this church that I was at. And we had over 500 men at that service that weekend. I think Billy Walker came down along with some other pastors that were there. And we had Steve Gaines in to preach, and we had Dr. James Merritt in to preach, and just had a great lineup of preaching. We had about 27 men saved that weekend. It was fabulous. Well, along January about 2016, some of those pastors wanted our church to come up here and train their men as to how to host a men's conference. So I said, great. And so I brought our men up here two or three times, and we began to prepare for a men's conference. And in April of 2016, we were supposed to host it out at Greater Missionary Church, Brother Willie Freeman's church, but we had over 700 men get registered. And so we had to move it to a larger venue. And so I called First Baptist, and they were good enough to let us host it there. And we had a fantastic men's conference at First Baptist Church in April of 2016. But it was during that time that my heart began to burn for Clarksville again, because I heard those pastors and their stories, their struggles, and the things that they were up against. And boy, my heart just began to burn for my hometown again. That was April of 2016. But you know what? I wouldn't even pray about coming home. Not for months. Because I like being in Waynesboro with my wife and my daughters and my son-in-law, my grandchildren and my boy Isaac. But man, in the summer of 2016, God started speaking to me. And he gave me, I guess, 7 or 8 verses of scripture that was crystal clear that I was to come home and help with a great move of God. That's why we came home. And of course, I had mentioned it to Diana, and she didn't want to pray about it either. But God gave her Genesis 22, and he gave me some other verses, so we finally realized that's what we'd better do. And y'all, one of the hardest days I've ever had was to sit down with this fine young man, and he was 10 years old, and I had to tell him what God was calling us to do. And I broke out in tears, and you know, that was the wrong thing to do, but I shared with him what God was asking us to do. And so we left Waynesboro and came to Clarksville. And he hung with us for about 3 years, but I found out you can take the boy out of Waynesboro, but you can't take Waynesboro out of the boy. And so he went back down, and he's living with my daughter and his sister and my grandkids, who are more like his brother and sisters. And God's been faithful. And we were visiting colleges this week. But I say all of that to say this. Do you know what got me through those days? It was so hard to leave. Me and Diana were at that church. We were the king and queen of Waynesboro. We were. I don't know how that got to be. 2,500 folks live in Waynesboro, and we had 500 of them on Sundays. I mean, it was unbelievable ministry. We were there for 20 years, and man, it was just awesome. But it was one of the hardest things I've ever had to do, is to leave that. But you know what got me through? Philippians 4:19 says, "And my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Matthew 11:28, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." Psalm, I believe it was 147 in verse 3. "He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds." Proverbs 3:5-6. "Sustain me in my time of need. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path." And so while that move was a tough one, I'm so thankful that we were obedient to what God wants us to do, because I see a great move of God coming to this place. And church, we need to get in behind it. We need revival. My goodness, we need revival. The Word of God will get you where you need to go. And I thank the Lord, Greg and Lucy, for people like y'all, because you understand that you need the Spirit of God along with the Word of God. And when you got that, that's a powerful combination. And so thank God the Word supplies us, it sustains us. But I'll move to the last one quickly. The Word of God secures us. Take a look at this word there in verse 11. Now, I'm reading out of the New King James Bible. I think the King James Bible says empty, doesn't it not? Does it not? New King James says void. The Word of God shall not return to me void. It shall not return to me empty. The word empty means without fruit. The Scripture, does it? I guess it was the Amplified you were quoting from. There's some translation that says empty.
NIV.
Mercy. Okay. Well, I won't go there, but anyways. The Scriptures secure for us the kind of life that God wants us to enjoy. Let me say that again. The Scripture secures for us the kind of life that God wants us to have. You do know that God wants us to bear fruit for His glory, right? Yes. Jesus said, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you." Why? That you go and bear much fruit and that your fruit should remain. And so, I mean, you see the fruits of the Spirit here in Isaiah 55 of love, joy, and peace. Whew. How many of you would like to have a little love, joy, and peace today? One person. There's two. There's three. There's four. All right. I wonder about some of y'all sometimes. Love, joy, and peace. And if you're looking for that kind of life, you'll find it by being obedient to the Word of God. I can't express that enough in my life. God grows me and nourishes me and motivates me and challenges me when I'm obedient to what He tells me to do in the Word. That's where the blessing of the Christian life comes. God always accomplishes what He wants done. Whatever the Word is that He sends to you and to me, it never returns empty. It never returns void. But it pleases and accomplishes what He pleases, rather. And it prospers in the thing for which He sent it. And by the way, I want to look at some young folks today. God's got a plan and purpose for your life. Ainsley, God's got a plan and purpose. And even John Mike. He's got a plan for all. He's got plans and purposes for all of us. And by the way, he's trying to find the college God wants him to go to. But you know what? God doesn't need me to tell him where to go because God's big enough to tell him. And he'll tell y'all through the Word. The Word. His purposes. Now, look at this. Watch this. Look at this will be, I know it's dangerous when you hear a preacher say, "We're going to close with this last verse." I get that. Look at Psalm chapter 1. Y'all know where the book of Psalms is, right in the middle. It's right in the middle of the Bible. Psalm 1 and verse 3. Watch this. God's word will always prosper in a person's life. Psalm 1 and verse 3. You ought to circle this. "He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper." And girls, you can put your name in there too. Whatever he or she does shall prosper. When we're obedient, real prosperity is knowing what God has said and simply doing what He has said. And so having said all of that this morning, let me ask you, where are you today? Some of you need to be saved today. And every time you don't respond to that call of salvation on your life, that voice is going to get a little bit smaller and smaller and smaller. You better respond while He's near. I wouldn't care what anybody else said or what anybody else thought. I would do what God's telling me to do. You know it, and I know it. There are folks here today, and you need to come to Jesus Christ. You've been trusting in something else, and it ain't holding up. And then there are some more of us in here. I don't know who I'm talking to. This happened to me when I was 25. And for whatever reason, I was distant from the Lord. And God got a hold of me. I had to lose some things before I would listen. But I returned to the Lord. And I stand here today before you as your pastor saying, God's got a plan and He's got a purpose and He's working it in your life and in mine. And if you'll just say yes this morning, hallelujah, you'll begin to bear fruit for His glory. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And you'll begin to look like Jesus. I've said all of that to say this. Right now's the time to be obedient to what the Word of God tells us. I don't know what He's saying to you, but you know. And we're going to give you an opportunity to come forward. Oh yeah, you can fill out a card, but I would rather you come forward. Because that way we can pray with you and we can give you some materials and we can do some things with you and for you if you'll respond by coming. Let's pray together. Father, forgive me. I'm just having a hard time shutting this message down. But this is not up to me, Father. This is up to You. You're the one that we turn to. And I pray right now, God, that You'd give my friends, my brothers and my sisters the courage to do what You're calling them to do. I don't want to drag this out, Father, but please, God, I've watched it on many Sundays. People just continue to sit here and grieve Your Spirit and quench the Holy Spirit of God. Oh, God, don't let us do that today. Help us to respond in obedience. Thank You, Lord, for not giving up on me. Thank You, Lord, for being so good to me. I just want everybody to have what I've got. And I'm not anybody special. God, You love all of us just exactly the same. And so I pray right now, Father, for anyone here that needs King Jesus as their Lord and Savior. If He's not Lord, He's probably not Savior. So if you're here right now, let me just quote a little scripture to you. If you'd be willing to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved, because everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're here today and you've been trusting in something else or someone else other than Jesus, now's your time. It's your time. And I want to ask you in just a moment to come forward. They'll let you out of your pew, out of your row. You just come forward and tell me. Tell one of our counselors, I need to be saved. And we'll lead you in that sinner's prayer. And you can be wonderfully and gloriously saved right here today. And you won't have to worry about putting that off. By all means, if you're distant from God, you believe you're saved, you think you're born again, but you have wandered away from God. It wasn't God who moved, it was you. And you need to come back home today. You need to return to Him. Father, whatever decisions people need to make today, to return to You or to give their lives to You, we're going to give You all the glory. You do what only You can do. Thank You for Your Word that supplies strength for us. Thank You for Your Spirit that gives us what we need to be obedient. Thank you for Jesus. In His name we pray. Let's all stand quietly and reverently. Don't wait. Come on right now. Just come on right now. We'll help you. We'll pray with you. We'll do whatever you need to have done. You just step out and come. Come on right now. That's right. Prayer warriors, y'all come. There are folks here that need Jesus. I promise you. There are people here that need Jesus. You come.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.